Let's continue discussing some of the inyanim of Rosh Hashanah from Dr. Wizak. From yesterday. Okay. Let's talk now about the procedure. Well, not going to talk about the procedure, but just the minhag of E of Simone Milsa. Okay, yesterday we spoke about the new fruit. The new fruit, Shachianu, is the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Let's go back in time and talk about the first day of Rosh Hashanah. It is Minag Yisrael to eat on the first day of Rosh Hashanah a collection of different types of foods and recite various prayers that they shall serve for us as a simon toy for the year ahead of us. And before we get into the simonim, we're not really going into any detail. First point I want to make is, do you do the simonim both nights, or do you only do the simonim the first night? Anyone want to tell me what they do?
We do second night.
The simonim?
No,
the Shachianu.
Both nights.
Okay, anyway. Shachianu was only the second night.
Yeah.
Make no mistake about it. That was yesterday's shir. Make no mistake. What about the Simonim? Does anyone here have a hakpada to do with both nights? Or they only do it either way?
Night.
What?
Both nights.
Both nights? Do both nights?
Really?
Both nights? Okay, so interesting. Okay, no, so interesting. The Pashtus is, you only do it the first night. Okay, that is the simple, that is the more common and the more logical approach to this custom. You only do it the first night. By the way, minhagim is a general rule, Rabbi said. It's an important thing to keep in mind. Question, why don't we stay up the second night of Shavuos? How can we only stay up the first night of Shavuos? Why not the second night? The whole night. Why?
There are very few people who do.
What? Very few people who do. Stay up the second night of Shavuos. Why not? If the encyclopedias of why, telling you all the reasons why you stay up the night of Shavuos. All those reasons apply to the second night as well, Steak of the Yoma. Especially Shavuos, this is like the king of Steak of the Yoma, because there's no need to have a second day of Shavuos. Second day of Shavuos is the Omer. You're counting the Omer from Pesach. So we know when Shavuos is. By 50 days, you know when the Kiddush HaChodesh was 50 days ago. So it's only because of Minig Avosin and Yodeinu, not the differentiate between Pesach and Sukkot, we have also a second night of Shavuos. So why don't we stay up the second night of Shavuos? The answer is, very interesting answer, is because the second night of Shavuos, setting up a night, is only a minhag. There's no such thing as Sveika Diyoma on Minhagim. Okay? There's only Sveika Diyoma on Halacha, not on Minhagim. Now, of course, you'll tell me there are things that you Minhagim, you do both days. All right, but a major Minhag that comes with an expense, an effort, and you have to exert yourself, you only do a Minhag, you only do it once. You don't have to do it more than once. Staying up the night of Shavuos is a major shake-up in your schedule. 99% of people learn a lot less than the people who learn. Let's not talk about people who don't learn. People don't learn. Anyway, don't learn. Okay. Let's talk about serious B'nai Torah. Okay. People who really, really take learning seriously. Those B'nai Torah who stay up Shavuos night, the end is they end up learning over Shavuos a lot less than they would have otherwise have learned had there not been a minute to stay up learning a night in Shavuos. So why do you do it? You're giving up learning. I'm staying up at night to learn in order not to learn, to disrupt my schedule, to get off course. And a chanami.
The same Shmulevitz used to say, they're up all night Shavuos and then they go to sleep till Tisha B'Av.
Okay, there are a lot of jokes. Okay. Shavuos. Okay, whatever. We all know how it is. But that's how it is. And a chanami, you'll ask a serious Ben Torah, it'll tell you it's a loss. It's a net loss. No, Gesundheit. It's a net loss. But minug avoseinu b'yadeinu, there's a minug to stay up, so I'm going to stay up. But, and then Rav Moshe Feinstein did not stay up. Rav Moshe took his learning so seriously. He was so calculated. He was so calculated in how much he learned, and he needed every second in learning. He did not stay up the whole night Shavuos. He just followed his regular routine. He got up every morning like 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. That's what he did Shavuos night. He did the same routine he did the whole year he did on Shavuos night. That was Rav Moshe. So why don't we do it the second night? Like I said, because you see what an ordeal it is to stay up the first night, what the loss it causes and everything. So a minig you only do once, especially in hagim, which you pay a good price for in your health, in your sanity, in your pocket. Simonim, the first night of Rosh Hashanah, it's a big deal by some people. Okay, everyone, yesh v'yesh. I personally, my parents didn't make much of a deal about it. Yeah, you do the simonim, you do 1, 2, 3, do the simonim. I was a guest by someone for Rosh Hashanah night. Ooh, what was going on there? My whole life, I never saw something like this. What they were doing, I couldn't, all the different things they were doing, they were throwing things on the floor, and they were walking in circles. They were doing these most bizarre things I ever saw, and went on the whole night. So you wonder about it. You begin to wonder, where all these things come from? But in any event, it's a minog. It comes with expensive. Some of these things are very expensive also. You know, you want to do all the things that it says. The Gemara only says 5 things. Only 5 things listen to Gemara. Somehow, from those 5 things, it became 25 things. And the nuschos, and there are people that go wild over this. They go and they go to the store and they buy, they have a whole long list, they buy them all, it costs money, it's an ordeal.
The Chinese take care of it. They make money.
It's a big ordeal. You only have to do a minog once, the first night, the zehu. Okay, number two, here is a very interesting idea. In Shulchan Aruch, before you begin every simon, there is a title, and it tells you, it summarizes what the halacha is. Okay, dine hashkamas boiker, dine kriyashma, dine shmona esrei, sarach l'chavein. Every simon in Shulchan Aruch has a title. Who wrote that title? Who is the one who wrote the titles to each simon in the Dalit Chelkei Shulchan Aruch? Rav Yosef Cairo, quite a job. He wrote Shulchan Aruch. You know, Shulchan Aruch was only an afterthought. The whole Shulchan Aruch that he wrote was just like cliff notes. You know, for him, it's just a chazar. Just like he wrote a mamish derech agav. He never in his wildest dreams would have imagined that Shulchan Aruch would become what it is. He wrote the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef, the parish on the tour. This was his work. This was, you know, he wrote the Kesef Mishnah on the Rambam. And he wrote the Beis Yosef. This was his life work. Shulchan Aruch was not a serious work. It was just a summary. It was just a sideshow. And it took off like crazy. And then the Rambam came along and wrote all the Minhagim for all the Minhagim. So who wrote the introductions to the Simanim in Shulchan Aruch? No one knows. No one knows. Even Rabbeinu Google doesn't know. No one knows. There is no record as to who wrote the titles to the Simanim of Shulchan Aruch. And the question is, were they Talmidei Chachamim? Or were they just...
When did they start? They don't know.
Well, the Shulchan Aruch was printed in what year? 18? Right?
No, 15.
I'm sorry, 15? What? Late 15?
Early 15.
Early 15, so early? Okay.
45. It could be the printers.
Who? Maybe it was the printers. Were they Talmidei Chachamim? We don't know. Yes. They saw what it says. No, they saw what
they went ahead and they weren't allowed to be. No Jews were allowed to be printers.
So maybe they weren't even Jews.
Like the Bamberg Gemara.
They weren't allowed. So who, it's a very
that's
big
why
mystery.
So many mistakes.
It had to be an editor.
They printed on Shabbos too, so there was no oversight.
Who wrote the titles? It's not so hard to write a title. You see what you go through it very quickly. You don't have to know every detail. You see what it basically talks about, and you go and you write a little title. Dine Kriyashma. Dine Shmona Esrei. Dine Shalosh Seudos. Who wrote the titles? Big mystery. Rav Chaim Kanievsky says we have a right to assume. Zev Mechidish. He rings over here in Paradise Yosef. I think he maybe sent him a letter. I don't remember all the details, but he has. We have a right to assume it was written by Talmidei Chachamim of the highest caliber. It's a chiddush to say that, to have that assumption. Lemay nafkamina. What difference does it make who wrote it? Big nafkamina, because when you read some of the titles, hidden in the title is halacha. There's a halacha there as well. And the classic example is the simonim. Because in Shulchan Aruch it says, simone leil Rosh Hashanah. It does not say leile Rosh Hashanah. So, you want to make a lundis, lema arichta. It says lel. So many people want to say, forget, besides the reason I told you that a minyan only does no sfegdim on a minog, being that it says in the title, it doesn't say anywhere in Shulchan Aruch, this mamish, no makar, anywhere, is it only both days, is it one day, it doesn't say anywhere what to do, but the only place we have a makar to do the first night is the title of the simin. In Lehuch Shulchan Aruch, and it says, Leil Rosh Hashanah, Simone Leil Rosh Hashanah, Leil is Loshon Yochid, not Loshon Rabim. That's an indication. You only do the Simonim the first night of Rosh Hashanah. Simone Mils, when we start Vizehu, and indeed that appears to be the more common minug, you do this Simonim the first night, and that's it. Okay, so you want to do it very quickly the second night, you can do it, no harm done if you do the second night. That is one interesting, I just want to make just point out the different types of customs. That's issue number one. Issue number two, there's a minute to say a yihi in that, the simonim. Are the simonim to eat the simonim, or are the simonim to look at? Mm-hmm. So ruba de ruba, we eat them. You take it, you eat, you make a bracha, you make a shahaka, you make a bari per eitz, bari per adam, all different types of brachas. The minig is to eat. That is not so simple. That's not so simple. There's a very big dilemma. Some hold that the ikur is not to eat it. The ikur is to look at it. To look, you pick it up. Morrows. Right? Okay, you pick it up. You pick it up, and then you say the Yehirat sign. Yehirat sign, that out here we should be multiply like fish, whatever. Ooh, I don't know, I'm not into these things. Whatever it is, you say, you look at it, you can pick it up, and you recite the Yehirat sign, but you don't necessarily have to eat it. It's very important. And Lamayin Afkamina, there are some of the things today that are infested with bugs. There are a lot of things say that we can't really eat. There are different problems. Sometimes, let's say, so you forget to take off chumas and maestras. Or let's say, there are issues, whatever the issues are. You don't like it. You're allergic to it. You're not sure. Am I allergic? Am I not allergic? Whatever the situation is, you don't necessarily have to eat the simonim. It's enough to look at it and to say the yihirat sign. If you want to eat it, some hole, it's adarab. It's better to eat it. That's another issue. Okay, issue number three. When do you do it? Do you do it after Kiddush before the Hamaitzi, or do you do it in the middle of the meal? What's the issues? Well, the issues are, is it a bracha she'edet tzricha? These are all dilemmas. There are no answers. Every question I'm telling you now, there's really no clear answer. Everything is a matter of your custom. You do whatever you did last year, do again.
What about the eighth, the apple?
Dip the apple in the honey. We'll get that in a few moments. We'll come to that in a moment. Let's talk about all the exotic things, not the apple. Let's talk about all the exotic things. All the exotic things that you say the Yirat
Son. I understand that you introduced the simanim with the exotics, but the simanim that I've used.
Yes, apple.
With no exotic things. There are carrots.
In my eyes, that's exotic. That's what I mean by exotic. Because what I mean is.
It's not expensive.
Okay, so Enochnami.
In Israel, they would never use a carrot.
So when I say exotic, I mean things that you would not. I'm not talking about the apple. That's something I'm coming to a little later on. Let's put the apple out for now. Apple is out. I want to just talk about the carrots, radish, what else? Fish.
Fenugreek,
whatever. These in my eyes, these are all exotic. Even the carrots are exotic because it's something that you would never ordinarily do. Okay, all these things. When do you do it? Do you do it before you recite the Hamaitzi? Or do you recite the Simonim after you've already recited the Hamaitzi? Lamai Nafkamina. Now here's another, let's go to the number four. Do you make even a bracha? Do you make a bracha? Let's say it's your opinion that you wash and you make the hamaitzi, and now you're going to do the simanim. Do you make a bracha, bar per adam, bar per eitz, or shahakol on these things? Well, the halacha generally is anything that's ba machma sasuda, you don't make a bracha. But it's loy machma sasuda, dessert. Dessert, ruba de ruba, on a shahakol dessert, you make a shahakol, or a fruit, or you make adama, or a bari priyo eitz on dessert. Most people will make for dessert a bracha, mizonos. A mizonos dessert is a major machlekes apoyskim. Rav Moshe Feinstein holds, you do not make a bracha, if the dessert is mizonos, you don't make a mizonos. Rav Moshe holds that that's already called a dessert that's part of the meal. Others disagree with Rav Moshe. They hold you make a mezonos even on a mezonos dessert.
There are others that disagree and you don't have to make a bracha on
shahakol?
On anything. Dessert if you come from a society where you eat desserts.
Okay, I have not heard that. It could be very well. I don't know. Okay. But I'm familiar with desserts. Generally, you do make a bracha. That's pretty much it's a shahakol or a boi prio adama, boi prio eitz. Generally, maybe okay. They're different. Everything's different opinion. And where I come from, you do make a bracha. Only a mezonos is the question. If it's a certain type of meal where the ikar is dessert is part of the main course, go to a restaurant. What do you order first? You order dessert. Life is uncertain. You can't waste time. You go to dessert right away. If that's what you're looking forward to in your meal, then you're right. If you're looking forward to the dessert, but sometimes you have a really nice meal, and dessert is just like, you know, just a certain chat. It depends on the setting. It depends on, there are many variables. We live in a very complicated world, so there are many variables in all of these different issues. But here's the question. Do you make a bracha on the simonim? Do you consider these things to be bama machmas asuda? L'cha'oira, no. They're not. Because you never eat raw carrots.
Yeah,
you never eat fenugreek.
This is a minhag to eat it at this time.
No, but it's a minhag to eat it mishum simone, but it's not a minhag to eat it machmas asuda. You do it during the suuda, but it's not machmas asuda. It's not part of the suuda, it's part of the simonim. So you're very safe. You're very safe making a bracha. You really are safe making a bracha on these things during the meal. That's very common, to make a bracha on these things. Now, but some hold, no, you shouldn't make a bracha because it's part of the meal, so you don't make a bracha. But if you do it before you wash, then you certainly have to make a bracha. But maybe it's better to do it during the meal and shouldn't be a bracha shein etzricha. But anyway, you do need a bracha because it's not b'machmas ha-su'uda. Whatever you'll do, you'll find a mahalach in halacha that it's good. So don't worry, whatever you did last year, you do again. And you'll work backwards, and you will find a very valid approach in halacha why it's good. Everyone, there's many approaches. Another issue. When you say the Yehi Ratzon, what?
You said you're going to speak about the apple.
We're getting there in a moment. We're not finished with this yet. When you make the Yehi Ratzon, do you say Hashem's name? Do you say Hashem's name? Do you say Hashem's name? In some of the tzetlach that you get in the mail, it has Hashem's name. Some of them does not have Hashem's name. What do you do? There are different minhagim. Do you say the Yehi Ratzon before you make the bracha? After you make the bracha? Before you eat? After you eat? Or is you make the bracha? And then you say the Yehi Ratzon and then you bite into the food. That's not necessarily wrong. Somehow, some do like that. It's not a hefsek. I make the bracha, and then I say the Yehi Ratzon, and then I eat it. Can you tell me that's called a hefsek? No, not necessarily. Is that ideal thing that some people are very against doing that? They hold it to be a hefsek. So you should say the Yehi Ratzon first, and then you say the bracha, and then you eat it. But if you say the Yehi Ratzon first, then make the bracha, there's a hefsek between the Yehi Ratzon, your tefillah, especially if you can say Hashem's name in your tefillah, and the achila. So maybe you should make the bracha, and you should eat it, and then say the Yehi Ratzon. It's too late. Then the effect of the sinin is not going to work.
Is the Yehi Ratzon almost like a bracha?
No, it's not like a bracha. It's a tefillah. A bracha is a bracha. Yehi Ratzon is a tefillah. So whatever you're doing, you have problems. There's no perfect solution. So again, you do whatever you did last year. Now dip the apple in the honey. When you dip the apple in the honey, so some will dip the apple in the honey before you do hamaitzi, and they'll eat the simonim during the meal. And you make the bracha, you make a bori per eitz on the apple, so do not make any more bori per eitz during the meal because you already made one bori per eitz on the apple. Oh, but that's the question I'm going to take back is the order. You have to be careful. You're going to have many simonim, you're going to make many brachas. Which bracha comes first? You got to be a baki muflug in the laws of brachas. Do you do the shivas haminim first? Do you do what's chaviv first? Or do you follow the rule, the more specific? First comes so eitz, then is adam, then is shahakal. But let's say I like the shahakal. It's more delicious to me, the shahakal, than the other things. Or it's listed in the Gemara. It's a more chashva simon. So you have to know the order, the laws of brachas. You got to know on your fingertips, and then make a decision, the seder, because you got to make all the brachas in order. You have so many dilemmas, so many different dilemmas what to do. Now, the apple, dip the apple in the honey. Where does that come from? Where does that? So that's an ancient minhag. So what is the apple all about? And then there's the reason why the pomegranate. The pomegranate is one of the major simonim. So let's say some drush. Apple kitapuach batsei hayar kain doidi bein habonim. It's a pasuk klal yishol compared to a tapuach, and it's very very relevant. This is a drush. It's very relevant for Rosh Hashanah because the pasuk in Shirashim says that klal yishol relative to the umay sa'olam is kitapuach batsei hayar. One of the major yisoidis why Rosh Hashanah is in Tishrei not in Nisan. Nisan is only for klal yishol. Only for klal yishol. Chodesh ha'chodesh lachem rosh chodashim. Nisan is the Rosh Hashanah for Klal Yisrael. Tishrei is the Rosh Hashanah for the world. The Umay Sa'olam, kings, we date our shtaros on the date of a secular king, which his new year, according to Halacha, changes on Tishrei. It's a Yom Hadin for the Umay Sa'olam and for Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, our uniqueness relative to the Umos Olam is this defined in the Pasuk with the Tapuach. Kitapuach ba'atzei hayar, like the beauty and the milus, all of the advantages of a Tapuach. Kitapuach ba'atzei hayar. Kain doidi bein habonim is our relationship relative to the umay sa'olam. Being that the yom hadin is a din for klal yishol, and it's a din for the umay sa'olam, and it's a din of how we will relate to them, how we will survive them, from them, and our relation to them on Rosh Hashanah, tapuach is essential. It's a very beautiful symbol to show the uniqueness of klal yishol relative to the umay sa'olam. Now we dip the tapuach in honey. Now, question, big question where there is no answer to. What kind of honey? Bee honey or date honey? Eretz zavas cholov udvash. Rashi, clear as day, does not mean bee honey. Eretz zavas cholov udvash means date. Date honey. Dates produce honey also. They're the sap is honey. When you dip the apple in the honey, you're having date honey or bee honey. 99% of you probably have bee honey. Bee honey. What?
What do you get, date honey?
I'm sure if they can make money off it. If someone can make money off it, they'll make it for you. No doubt. What? We squeeze the bees.
No, but
you don't put a bee on your dining room table. A bee is a shirt. What? Dates. We use bee honey. Why bee? Answer is Chazal say that if Torah would not teach us derech gezel, we would learn from an ant. Tznius, cat. The Gemara goes all the animals. Every animal teaches us a maila, a mida. What do bees teach us? There is no creature in the whole world that teaches us the concept of malchus, like the bee. The queen bee. It's fascinating. Go to Wikipedia, go online, learn about the hierarchy. You want to know what malchus is? Learn from the bees. Bees, they are the spitz of Malchus. What is Rosh Hashanah all about? Hamelech. The whole Rosh Hashanah is all about Hamelech Malchus. Memela, you dip the apple. Klal Yisrael is the tapuach. Rabbi Sar, please. Klal Yisrael is kitapuach ba'atzei hayar. In the forest, there are a lot of trees. All the trees are the Umos Olam. The apple is Klal Yisrael. Kain doidi bein habonim. Hashem says you are unique. You klal yishol, you the tapuach. What do we do on Rosh Hashanah? The umay sa'olam, they're out to the races. They're not coming to shul. They're business as usual on Rosh Hashanah. Thursday, Friday, they're not coming. They're not coming to the Beis HaKnesses. What are we doing on Rosh Hashanah? Hamelech. We're declaring Hashem as melech. What is we are that tapuach, and what is the bee? The product. What is the product of the? What is the bee? This is Malchus. So we dip the apple in the honey. This is what we're doing. This is us, Kineged the Umos HaOlam, all wrapped up, absorbed, focusing on the theme of Malchus. Okay, next concept. There's also the pomegranate. The pomegranate is a very, very, very powerful simen. The Rimoin. Rimoin has how many seeds? Chazal, it says in Yerushalmi, 613. Rabbi Sai, there are no 613 seeds in the pomegranates. Sorry to tell you, go to pomegranate on Coney Island, you count the seeds in the pomegranates that they sell there, you're not going to find 613. So what does this mean exactly? So first of all, there's a Maisa Shahaya, it's brought down here, Rabbi Sai, please, just a few minutes. Rabbi Maisa Shahaya, the Vilna Gaon, he had a Talmud, he went to Italy, and he told me, bring me back a rimoin from Italy. The Talmud brought him back, and the Gra, that's what it says in the books. I don't know if it's true or not, this is the legend. The Gra counted the seeds himself in the pomegranate that he brought back from Italy, and there were exactly 613 seeds. Okay, it's a legend. Whatever that means, it means a certain types of pomegranates. Who knows what it means? Question, it's a very major question. Kepelach, it says in the Chazal, Kepelach harimoin rakoseich. Your temples are like a slice of a pomegranate. Whatever that means, it means it's beautiful, whatever that means. The Chazal of Adrasha. And the Jarshan rakoseich doesn't mean your temples of your forehead, it means your empty ones. You're a shoim. There are a lot of wicked people out there. There are wicked, Rachman al-Litzlan, there are people out there among Klal Yisrael who are reik, who are empty. They're empty. Rachman al-Litzlan, Tikkun al-Shanishma, they didn't have an opportunity to have a Jewish education. Even the reikonim shebochem, the empty ones, are molei mitzvois kirima, like a pomegranate. So is that what we want to say about ourselves? That we're reik? We want to say kepelach a slice of a rimoin rakoseich. That's not a nice thing to do in Rosh Hashanah. To say to Hashem, we're empty, we're mamash, we're empty, we're rakoseich. Is that what we want to do? It's a very popular question. It's not a good simon. It's not a good simon. It's a very popular question. So the answer that resonates, with the 100 answers on this question, the answer resonates with me is the empty people are only called a slice, a kepelach, a slice of a pomegranate. They have a few mitzvahs. The simin on Rosh Hashanah is the whole rimain. You have the whole rimain in front of you. And that's why it fits much better not to eat it. You don't have to eat it. Look at it. You look at it. A whole rimain as taryag. So the reikonim have a pelach, have a slice. But tzaddikim have it all. Well, some say that the reikonim have, they have taryag over a whole lifetime. But a tzaddik has taryag in one day, in a very short period of time. Now, here's the point I want to make.
On the other hand, you could say that just like the worst of the yidden is better than the best guy.
Okay, that's another idea. He has a lot of answers. That's another idea. Okay, now we're running out of time. I just want to point out is that these two, that they also, the Gemara says that that Rabbi Meir, he learned by his student, his Rabbi Acher, who went off the derech, and the other chaverim said, "How could you go learn by him? He's not pikeres." So he said, "He says the klipa zorak a klipa. He threw away the klipa, and he only ate the toichoy, the panemius. That's really what Rosh Hashanah is all about. It's to remind us to throw away all of the chitzonius, all the nonsense. To be called after the klipa, get rid of the klipas." Get rid of all the nonsense and focus on the panemius, what is the ikar. It's a maimah chazal, and it fits very much in line with what we're supposed to do. Nothing. I want to contrast, we dip the apple in the honey, and probably the most prominent of all this one is the rimon, is the pomegranate. There's a very big difference between the two, and that is the seeds. The ikar part of the pomegranate is what? The seeds. You can't eat the outside. The seeds is the whole food. An apple is the only food that is known among us whose seeds are poisonous. It's sakonis nefesh, it's cyanide. Seeds of an apple are cyanide. If you want to, if you eat too many seeds, you can kill yourself. Mamish can kill yourself. They are the only seeds known in the fruit store. Go to your local fruit store, all the hundreds of exotic fruits. The only seeds that are literally poisonous, full of cyanide, literally, are apple seeds. Apple seeds. The oichel of an apple is the chitzayin. It's a contrast. You know, you have to, everything in this world is a balance. Mitzad echad, we dip the apple in the honey. We distance ourselves, we kotzel kotzeh, from those seeds. Mitzad sheni, just because we don't eat those seeds, doesn't mean there's not a lesson to learn from seeds. When it comes to the pomegranate, pumfakert, klipasa zorak, and toichai ochal, the ikar is the seeds. They're a team. It's not, I got my apple, I got my pomegranate, ha'yaluchud v'ha'yaluchud, the two work together as a team. He also still, he doesn't say, shana toivu mesuka, when you dip the apple in the apple. Okay, one good thing is another reason why you eat the apple. Okay, before coffee, the second most traded commodity in the world is what? Coffee. You know that? Coffee beans. The first is, I forgot what the first, number one. What? I don't know, right, but I don't think right. I think something else. No, I don't know. Coffee beans are the second most traded commodity in the entire world. What happened in the ancient world before coffee? I don't even know when it was discovered, coffee. But what happened before they had kofi? How do people get a high? They wake up. How do people wake up? So it's a fact. Apples are even more powerful in waking you up than coffee. If you want to stay up late at night, you want to stay up, get in the morning, eat an apple. An apple, Google this, is a fact. Apples, there's something about an apple that has the power to no caffeine, the different, a lot of chemicals. You can drug yourself up with who knows what to wake yourself up. Okay? But apples in ancient times, and even today, is a food which has the ability to wake a person up at the equivalent of caffeine. What is Rosh Hashanah all about? The Tkiyas HaShayfar. Oiru Yishuru Yishenim Mishinaschem. Wake up! Wake up and smell the coffee. That's what the blowing of the shofar is all about. So that's what you do the night of Rosh Hashanah. You get ready for Rosh Hashanah. You remind yourself, tomorrow we're going to wake up. How do you wake up? You eat an apple. An apple is an oichel in ancient time. It had the kayach of arousal, of waking up the mind. You dip the bread also you dip the challah in honey. What about the salt? You're supposed to have salt. And Adrab, salt on Rosh Hashanah is very significant because it's Bria Sa'ilam. Hashem was mavel bein amayim elyoin amayim tachtoinim, and that produces salt. The salt is the mind, is the tzeruf, is not for now. Rashi, salt. You're not going to dip the bread in salt. How can you now, if you dip the challah in honey, right? Shana toiva umesuka. But what about dipping your bread in salt? So what do? So some say you don't have to dip the bread in salt. The salt has to be on the table. Al kol korbancha, takrav melach. You don't have to dip the challah in salt. The salt should be on the table. It should be present. It's a matana to the sitra achra, but you don't have to dip it on during the yimei rachamim. We dip the challah only in honey. Some say no. You got to do both. You got to do both. Shaila is how do you do both? So some taka dip mamish. The same place where there's salt is where you dip it in honey. You have both together. Some say the taruvis. You can't do that. You don't do that. So what do you do? So I think there's Rav Moshe. I think Rav Moshe says you dip the same piece of bread. One side you dip it in salt, and on the other side you dip it in honey. I read here that the Lubavitcher Rebbe did not even do that. Even that was taruvis for him. So he had two different pieces. One piece he dipped in salt, and it was makbid on a separate piece. A separate piece of challah, he dipped that in honey. To milkayim both. You don't have to go, you could have both. You could have your cake and eat it too. You could have both of these minhagim. There are things that you're not allowed to eat. You don't eat nuts. Nuts is bigamachi egois. What's the problem? It's gematria chait. What's the problem? It's not gematria chait. Okay, chait is chait. Is without the aleph, chait is 18, and egois is 17.
No,
so it's
ches
tes aleph. Chait is spelled ches tes aleph, spelled throughout the Torah, throughout the Torah with an aleph. So it's bigamatria 18. Egois is 17. So one rule is going on. Famous answer, we said this last year, is there's one place, only one place in the Torah, one place where chait is spelled without an aleph. Ches tes, that is by Avodah Zarah. In Parsha Shlach, Avodah Zarah. What is Avodah Zarah? There's more than one God. What is Rosh Hashanah all about? Melech. There's only one. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. We're alluding specifically to the chait of not recognizing Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That's the chait that we're alluding to. So that's why. Okay, quickly. You're not supposed to eat grapes. You're not allowed to eat grapes on Rosh Hashanah. No grapes in Rosh Hashanah. Okay, why not? Doesn't say why not. I'll be soit. I'm just making an observation. What's so mysterious to me, and people point this out, is why then are there raisins in the challah on Rosh Hashanah? Why are there raisins? If you're not allowed to eat grapes, what?
Not by CRC,
no raisins? No raisins on Rosh Hashanah? It's a minhag Yisrael to have raisins on your challah. I'm sorry, it's a minhag Yisrael to have raisins. Raisins, a minhag Yisrael. Names in kashrut, but it's a minhag Yisrael to have raisins on your challah. So it's taka pelus. Obviously, we learn from this. There are different answers, but what we learn from those over here is that the prohibition is the penimius of the grapes. It's not the chitzenius of the grapes. I don't know what I'm saying, but it's something interesting just to be aware of. Okay, you're also not supposed to have anything that's sharp. You're not supposed to eat sharp things. It's not a good simen. If you already have the head of a fish, a head of a fish, a head of an animal, l'roish. What's l'roish stand for? La'asois ritzoin avinu shebashamayim. That's what the roish stands for. L'roish, v'loy, l'zanov. We're out of time. We'll have to pick this up next week. Okay. What?
They make special
fats.
Yeah, the horseradish they make without the
vinegar. No chimus for Rosh Hashanah.
It's not even a
business. It is.